are listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio Network, the home of Night Dreams Talk Radio, with Gary Anderson, syndicated worldwide. Paranormal Talk Radio, like you remember. Deep in the desert wilderness of Arizona, there lies a fabled treasure trove of gold, one that was said to be enough to make 20 men millionaires all the way back in 1891. Many have searched for it, but all have failed. After years of research, author Matt Polston debunks many myths surrounding the mine, including the location. Your next adventure awaits in The Lost Dutchman Mine Location, Rewriting History. But are you brave enough to take the first step? Available on PolstonHouse.com, Amazon, and Barnes & Noble. Get your copy today. The Lost Dutchman Mine Location. www.PolstonHouse.com. The paranormal and things that go bump in the night. Ghost stories, mythological gods and monsters, even UFOs. How do we square them with sacred scripture? Journey into the unknown with author and journalist Richard D. Lewis and his new book, The Paranormal Christian, Book 2. In this riveting guide, you'll discover a mystical exploration of paranormal phenomena through the lens of the Bible, the gateway between life and death and the afterlife. Stories of departed loved ones communicating from the other side. Real encounters with angels, ghosts, and other extraterrestrial beings. The true story of UFOs and the divine secret to end an alien abduction. If you believe in the Bible, you already have faith in the unseen, the supernatural. The Paranormal Christian Book 2 by Richard D. Lewis. Order your copy today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or RichardDLewisAuthor.com.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
Night Dreams brings on the night worldwide. Did you know you can find us on your favorite app? And now you can watch us live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our channel and give us a thumbs up. And now, here's Gary.
And here I am. And boy, the weather here went from 85 degrees yesterday down to 64 today. Instead of running in the air conditioner, which I actually should be running in the studio, we've been running the heater. I tell you, earth changes are going on and people are in denial. Well, in the Grand Canyon, why are the tourists suddenly getting sick? And there's been reports of dozens and dozens of people getting sick. Something strange is going on in the Grand Canyon. I don't know. I don't think I want to visit it this year. Could you believe you're out there scuba diving and a humpback whale decides you're a seal or something, you're its dinner, and decides to swallow you whole, and you're wondering what your last thoughts are, and they're like, I'm going to die. Well, fortunately, the humpbacks spit them out. Now, this is the second time this has happened in the last couple of years, James. You know, this happened, I think, a year ago, a year and a half ago. Another scuba diver got, you know, swallowed by a humpback.
Oh, I remember that story very well. And you know, it kind of reminds me of Jonah, that story in the Bible. Yeah, he swallowed you and spit you out whole. That would be horrifying, Gary, to get, you know, your sightseeing, swimming with them. Next thing you know, it swallows you. And the sad part is, if they go too deep, you get the bends if they do let you go.
No, that's not the point. Could you imagine you're being swallowed and you're going to be somebody's dinner? And it keeps reminding me, you know, about a year ago in India, this little old lady decides she's going to take a nap next to a tree. And then people were walking by and saw this big snake has almost devoured her. And the only thing that was popping out was her feet. And they managed to pull her out and revive her. I mean, being swallowed by something like that is really Scary. Well, you know what? Researchers are trying to really find out how some people can communicate with dead persons. And they are doing some really big tests at a university on that. And maybe we might get some answers. Are some people really psychic? Are some people really mediums? Or is somebody just able to channel it by a frequency and hear dead people?
I'd love to see the results on that one for sure. Because, boy, there sure is a lot of people that, see dead people.
Oh, yeah. And that is the scary part. Well, guess what? Where was the hottest part of the world yesterday? Do you have any idea, James? And do you know what the temperature broke?
Well, it's hard to say. I know there's two that's always competing. Usually, now, it's probably not the obvious, which is Death Valley, and the other one's over in Africa. But I think it was, 120 or something?
126 degrees.
Wow. Wow. That would fry your brain, Gary, just being out in it.
Oh, I know. Could you imagine? And that is the hottest ever recorded. And that is in Iraq, by the way, almost 127 degrees.
But they say it's a dry heat. Heat is heat. I'll tell you that.
Dry heat is worse yet, too, because at that temperature, seriously, it's cooking you if you're out there. Your blood is getting ready to start to, boil. You're dehydrated. You can't survive very long in that temperature. And, is that something we're going to be looking forward to in the next 10, 15 years? I don't know. Also, we were talking about the sunspot activity yesterday. Well, now it has grown to about 3 times the size of Earth. And it's pointed right at us.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they've been warning us for going on a year, and we've talked about the grids going down if they hit, and the Kensington event that happened in the 1800s could be all over again. That would be horrible. All it takes is one big burp, and it's headed right at us. Yeah, that is a disaster.
Yeah, get a lot of candles because, you're not – that's another thing. Our local credit union – for some reason, all their ATMs has been down since yesterday, and they have no answers. This is at all their branches, and we asked them, what's going on with your ATM? Oh, they're down for maintenance. Now, why would about 8 branches of a credit union, all of their ATMs be down? And then I was hearing stuff from other people today, when I was talking about it, said that they've noticed that with their banks. Could it be sunspot activity causing problems? I know that it's been causing problems with radio, and it's been causing problems with the internet, but let's face it, I'm not prepared to go back to the 1870s.
Yeah, really. Overnight, you'll be living like Amish people, literally. But yeah, a couple businesses here, a few chains, they haven't had any, same scenario, no internet for about 3-4 days.
Yeah, it's scary. Well, tonight we got a very good show. We're going to be talking about UFOs, UAPs, and if you don't think they don't exist, well, I got a bridge I can sell you in Brooklyn, because they do exist. Again, yesterday they found more galaxies that, they just keep finding them. And every time they find another galaxy, another solar system, another what have you, right? The odds are life increase so much. And I keep thinking, we're not even, as Michio Kaku said when he was on the show, we're not even a level one yet. And if we can even make it to a level one, I really believe we've been rebooted several times. We'll be back with Carolyn right after this. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Caroline Corey is an award-winning filmmaker and author of best-selling books on consciousness science and parapsychology. Based on her personal experiences, Corey has always been fascinated by existential topics, the study of consciousness, and the mechanics of the universe. In 2010, Corey founded Omnium Media, an entertainment and media platform that tackles various thought-provoking topics on the human condition and the nature of reality. Her latest films include Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible, and Among Us. In addition to writing and producing, Corey appears regularly as a guest expert on supernatural phenomena and the science of consciousness at major conferences and television shows, including The Unexplained with William Shatner and History Channel's popular series Ancient Aliens. For more on Caroline Corey, visit www.atearinthesky.com.
Welcome to the show. I was so excited. I forgot to unmute the microphone. Carolyn, I want to welcome you to the show. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Greg. Gary, thanks so much for having me. This is awesome.
Well, it's awesome to have you on. And, you know, I got to ask you a question. How old were you when you started getting interested in the paranormal, UFOs, all kinds of this stuff out there?
I was 5 years old, very, very young. So what happened was when I was five, I had this experience where all of a sudden I could see beings. You know, I could see angels, I could hear them, and I could look at someone and I knew what they were thinking or what was wrong with them, what was going to happen the next day, you know, things like that. Very, very strange things. And at the time, I didn't think it was anything special. I didn't think I was special. I thought, oh, you know, everybody does that. So I just dismissed it. But I kept thinking, how did that work? How does this happen, you know? And so because of this questioning, I got in the field of consciousness, because I knew it had to do with something beyond the physical, something that is our consciousness, so that that our consciousness is tapping into. And so 20 years later, you know, studying, researching, working with so many people around the world, having sightings as well of UFOs and things like that, I was convinced there's something there. I mean, this is real. We don't know how it works, but it does work and it's real. And so I started working with scientists and having more and more measurable effects and results. And I started making films on these subjects in a nutshell. Wow.
Very interesting. You know, again, you know, if you really think about it, you know, we would have to be naive to think we're the only ones. And I think we've been visited for thousands of years by who knows who. But, you know, when you think about Roswell, you know, people are going on about disclosure. And I think what disclosure is going to happen with things like terror in the skies and people like you that are out there proving that this stuff does exist. Because honestly, I don't think the government is really going to come and be 100% truthful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what I tried to do with the film, A Tear in the Sky. You know, as a filmmaker, what you do, the first thing when you have an idea, you look around and you know, you see what's out there that's similar to your perspective or your take on the film, which was a scientific approach. I said, there's no need, you know, to keep talking about the government doing this, doing that, or not doing this and not telling us that. I want to find a way to prove, to validate this phenomenon. And how do you do this? I mean, you have to do it scientifically. I think what's missing in ufology is data. You know, it's we see an incredible sighting, you know, something floating in the sky, changing direction and doing crazy stuff. But it's only maybe one camera or one angle or a few witnesses, but like not enough data. And so that's the reason why I set out to do this expedition, to try to capture in real time across multiple devices from different angles, any sort of anomaly, and then analyze it as well scientifically, because that has never been done before. And I think we succeeded big time.
Well, what really, you know, got you to do this? You know, other people have made videos and documentaries, but you really went, really, you know, just really went to prove this. And you did it, what, in 5 days' time?
Yeah, which is totally crazy, because what happened was we were talking about, okay, how many days do we need and how many people and where do we go, you know, trying to plan it. And originally we said we need at least 10 days, you know, at least. How many times, Gary, you've heard of people going on expeditions and coming back with nothing? You know, nothing happens. And here we were doing this major production, you know, in three different locations to try to get some sort of triangulation. We had a huge amount of equipment. I mean, huge, you know. People can see that even in a trailer. And the production crew also was pretty extensive. So once we realized that was going to be very costly, we said, well, let's just try 5 days. And if nothing happens, we can always extend. That's kind of how we went about it. And sure enough, you know, on the third day, I want to say, yeah, it was the third day, the first sighting happened, and then it got better and better. We got more and more and more until we, you know, I was actually blown away. We're all blown away by what we ended up with. I mean, and again, going back to, you know, in 5 days, we captured not only incredible anomalies that a lot of people, we don't really see online, but also hundreds of hours of data that we're still going through. So if we civilians did that in 5 days, imagine what the government must have, you know, with satellites and telescopes and radars. And, you know, there's got to be data.
There is. And here's the thing. Even a lot of the astronauts in the space station have come out and said they have seen objects that they can't describe, you know, that they're not earthly. But you know what? People dismiss it. It's like they say it, you know, it gets published, but nobody really takes it serious. I mean, why aren't the general population taking this stuff seriously?
Yeah, exactly. I think because of the lack of credibility, you know, usually, again, when somebody posts something online, we don't know who they are. And it's we don't know how they shot it. You know, is this special effects? Did they embellish it? Who else was there? You know, there's just not enough data, you know, for it to become credible. But in 2017, as you know, when those Navy Tic Tacs made the headlines, the little Tic Tac shaped objects in the New York Times, CNN, you know, everybody was talking about those, and the Navy and the Pentagon came out and said, yes, 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 this is real. We're not, you know, you are right. These are anomalous objects. We don't know what they are. Then the conversation started to change. People started to take it seriously. And I think since then, it got even more and more and more credible, you know, this whole phenomenon, especially now recently with this congressional hearing. I mean,
yeah, but
that's crazy, right?
Yeah, but Carolyn, here's two things that's happened here recently in the last few days. Now that the Navy is kind of saying, well, the 2005 with the Nimitz,
right,
was, now they're saying drones.
Mm.
And now, depending on where you read, they're talking about drones that maybe somebody was trying to hoax the Navy. I mean, see, this is the problem. When things happen, they give you information, then all of a sudden the disinformation comes out to keep you confused. Like I told, right, you before we went on the air, I've been almost 48 years doing talk radio and talking, right, about this subject. And every time you'd find something, it doesn't, yeah, take long after a certain period of time, then the disinformation comes out to keep,
exactly,
you confused.
Exactly. But even if it's a drone, it sure was behaving very anomalously. I mean, you know, it was dropping, 30,000 miles within a second or something insane. Feet, sorry, not miles, 30,000 feet in a split second or something like that. What kind of a drone does that?
It can't.
You know?
It can't.
Exactly. So, I mean, even if they're saying it is a drone, well, that's not the end of the story, you know, because the friction with, you know, with the atmosphere, I mean, not to mention, I mean, of course, if it's a drone, there's probably no one, there's no pilot, obviously, but still the fabric of the engine itself, of the, you know, the craft itself, the drone itself, it just still doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
That's not good enough. Yeah, that's still not good enough.
You know, Bruce McAbee has been on the show quite a few times through the years. And again, he did a whole bunch of calculations on this. Anything that would have been in it would have been liquefied.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, any metals that we know on Earth wouldn't have been able to handle it. It would have disintegrated.
Of course.
So, you know, I don't buy that. That's what I'm saying. Everything that comes out, then there's a little bit of disinformation coming out to muddy the waters.
And that's exactly why I made this film. And basically in the introduction, people will see that. I'd say, well, you know what, if the government's not going to tell us it's this, or maybe it's not at a point where it can tell us. I don't know. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt, even at this point. But still, regardless, there are way too many credible cases, way around the globe, you know, that there is something happening. And if the governments aren't going to tell us now, or they can't tell us now, well, then it's up to us to go out and figure it out. And so that's the reason why I decided to make this film. I said, let's make it like a film. So also, speaking of the mainstream audience, you mentioned that a little bit earlier. Why aren't they taking it seriously? You know, because the way it's packaged as well, you know, it's just some guy on a YouTube or some other thing. It's very kind of, so I wanted to make it an interesting film that is scientifically based, but kind of relatable. And I said, we're not going to study footage that's already out there. We're going to go and capture from scratch, to show if that's possible in real time, and then capture it with from different angles across multiple devices and see if we can analyze it scientifically. That is real data. And that's exactly what we did. We were blown away ourselves. This was the very first time that anyone actually has done anything at that scale. And so we had a lot of problems because we had to learn, you know, we had to figure it out as we were setting up. I mean, we had, of course, the regular cameras. I don't know how many cameras we had, but we also had the night vision, you know, the infrared. Then we had FLIR cameras. The FLIR cameras, for those who, you know, are not too familiar, it's 10 times more in the range in the infrared spectrum as more than the regular night vision. So it's extremely sensitive. Each camera is about $50,000, you know, to give you an idea. We have 8 of them to cover the entire sky. Those cameras also pick up the thermal signature of the object to see if it's cold, if it's hot. Because if it's cold, it means it has a propulsion system we don't know about, you know, of. And I mean, we had radiation detectors, RF spectrum analyzers, magnetometers. I mean, you name it. And so when you start to have correlations, different cameras picking up the same object and correlating with radiation spikes and things like that, then you have enough data to come to the conclusion that this is 100% an anomaly.
Well, that is something there, and we both know it. You know, what really muddies the water also is, you know, the internet. You know,
yeah.
You know, let's face it, being and doing stuff with videos now and creating fake images has really, you know, advanced so much in the last couple of years. So, you know, people are posting all these UFO, you know, and you look at it, I'll be honest with you, you look at it and you go, okay, well, that's definitely not real. And then I will say this, and we'll get back into it. There was a guy in Las Vegas that I had on my show, which really, I had him on there because he really upset me. Basically, every weekend he would take his video cameras out, and he's still doing it. And he would show all these UFOs around the hills of Las Vegas. And right. I besides doing this, I was one of the very first people to get Photoshop. And, you know, my other passion in life was photography. So when I started looking at what he was putting up on YouTube and Facebook, it didn't take me long to realize that isn't a UFO. That's a helicopter. So I made some phone calls to the airport, the international airport in Las Vegas. They connected me with the flight tower. I talked to them. They connected me to the military. I talked to them. They connected me to the organization that, well, put it this way, traces down radiation from all the bombs that was detonated around Area 51 in the early 50s all the way up to the 60s. And what they were doing is they sent out helicopters on a regular basis around certain areas like Las Vegas, the hills, looking for radiation. And so, you know, then I started matching those dates with the dates he was seeing these UFOs, because I have never seen a UFO go next to a mountain or a side of a, you know, a hill and then kind of just stay there for a second and then drop its nose down. And then lift its nose up and move on. That's a helicopter. And when I started really digging into the pixels and everything, I could tell it was a helicopter. And also the dead giveaway is that the lights it was flashing is the lights is required by the FAA on aircraft.
Right.
But he had a huge audience of fans that really believed these were UFOs. This does damage to what you're trying to do and what I try to do.
100%. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of this out there. And that's the idea. In fact, we talk about this in the film. There's a section where we say it's very easy to mistake certain things for UFOs. For example, some triangles or that could be because of light bending sometimes, or at night you could see different spots. You know, I mean, we actually talk about this. And also there's a lot of technology, you know, that is part of Black Project, you know, that we just don't know about. It's just not public, you know. I understand it's classified. So, but if somebody looks up in the sky and sees some weird shaped object doing some, you know, some maneuver, they're going to right away think it is a UFO. So I totally agree. It's very, very misleading and confusing. And the people who are doing that on purpose, it's really frustrating.
Well, it does. Like I said, it does damage to what you're trying to prove and what I've been trying to prove for going on 48 years. Well, Carolyn, we need to take about a 2-minute break. We'll be back. Terror in the Skies, go check it out. We'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Is your mind really a time machine? Can you change your past, erasing your past mistakes? Can you visit parallel future realities, drawing your goals to you like magic? At Harvard University, brain imaging techniques prove the human brain is a time machine. Astrophysicist Michio Kaku says thinking is really time traveling. A book called Mind, Time, and Power by Anthony Hamilton is loaded with amazing new insights and jam-packed with thought exercises to build your brain like an athlete builds his biceps. It's the new psychology for the 21st century. Get and read Mind, Time, and Power by Anthony Hamilton. Available on Amazon or at mindtimeandpower.com. Remember how great paranormal talk radio was in the 80s and 90s? Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back to you talk radio like you remember, with your host, Gary Anderson, broadcasting to you live from his secret compound deep in the great Northwest. Now, Here's Gary.
And here I am with Carolyn. Terror in the Skies is her latest movie documentary. You need to check that out. You know, I'm going to go back to early 2000s, Carolyn. I kind of got burned out in radio for a couple years. And I, like I said, my passion was photography. And I was offered to actually manage a couple, you know, professional camera stores. And we were importing from Czechoslovakia, believe it or not, infrared military binoculars. They were huge. And boy, they were, even back then, they were expensive. Back in the early 2000s, used, they were over $5,000. But they were, you know, used on a tank. That's how big they were. You had to put them on a tripod. And, you know, I took one home, Carolyn, and I was looking in my backyard. I could see all these animals running around at night, you know, the neighbor's cat, dogs and stuff. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to look in the sky. And then, you know, I saw things. I saw things that was zooming by, and no, they weren't insects. And they would come to a stop and veer like another direction at very high speed. And at the time, one of our clients had a huge telescope, observatory. Anyway, I got him in, and I told him about it, and he kind of laughed at me. He goes, nah, you know, we got our big telescopes. We don't see this stuff. We would see it. And I said, no, but you're not in infrared. So I let him take a pair of these home for the weekend. And he came in Monday. And he ordered a pair. And I said, why are you ordering a pair? Because you said, you know, he goes, I saw what you told me. And next thing I know, they had like 13 members. They were all ordering these things. They were all coming back and reporting weird things. And people didn't want to hear about it. You know, they actually went to the military. They went to, you know, a couple of different organizations and said, this is what we see. And that nobody wanted to hear about it.
Yeah, isn't that strange? I mean, that reminds me of a sighting I had actually quite recently. It was just before the film, so maybe a couple of years ago. And it was nighttime. I just felt to, you know, just like I was inside. I felt just go outside, you know, one of those feelings. So I just go outside. I look up and I see these three balls of light. They're kind of bouncing off of each other, and they weren't very high and very bright. So I didn't, because usually when you hear about UFOs, they're very far and they're kind of bright, you know. So I thought, well, maybe this is nothing. Maybe these are searchlights or something. So I started to dismiss it, and all of a sudden I felt like, wait, no, that doesn't make sense. You know, so I kind of focused on it, and I felt, well, if it is a UFO, it's going to do something different. So all of a sudden, the three balls of light became split into four, then six, then eight. I was like, okay, that's cool. What else can you do? So I started walking about half a mile in one direction outside my house. And those things were literally just floating, like hovering right above me. And then I changed direction another half mile, and these lights were following me. I mean, there was not only the lights, but there was some sort of intelligence, because they could kind of hear my thoughts. You know, they knew what I was looking for. So that was pretty amazing. And so I look around, is there anybody around me, you know, that could, can they see what I'm looking at? And I see this neighbor, right? And she's walking her dog. And I said, hey, do you see these lights? They're right above us. And she says, yeah. Oh, that's cool. And that's interesting. And then she goes about walking her dog like nothing, you know. And these things were like bouncing and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. So, I mean, you know, for her, I don't know what it was. But she kind of, the fact that she didn't even question is mind-boggling, you know? It's so strange.
Again, I think it's the population is brainwashed that these things don't exist. You know, I mentioned Art Bell at the beginning of the show. He was a friend of mine. And, you know, I knew him well enough. We had long conversations. And he didn't believe in UFOs at all. He didn't. And one day, him and Lamona were coming back from Las Vegas. And he saw his first triangle. And that really upset him. And he realized these things actually do exist. And then about a year later, he was out on his back deck in his compound. And he saw another one float by. Huge. No sounds, no nothing. And you know, here's somebody who didn't believe it. It totally changed him. Where, you know, he realized these things are real. And that's the part. But here's what really, really makes me confused. You know, years ago, when I would talk to people, they would say these craft were like 25 feet in diameter. I would hear they look like a cigar or they were round. And they were about 25 feet. That's what everybody was saying. And then all of a sudden, it started being like 100 feet in diameter.
Right.
And then people are saying they're big as Walmart now. And yeah. I'm more confused on that aspect than anything.
That's true. I mean, if they're that big, like, how are they appearing and disappearing? I mean, I think it's interdimensional type thing, situation. And also, I think another very important thing is... and that, which is very, very confusing, especially for the average person. The fact that this isn't just one thing, you know, we think, oh, it's either going to be some extraterrestrial craft or something, or it's our military doing something strange. But it's not just one thing. It's not either or. It's multiple things, because I've seen things that I know, I'm sure it's U.S. military, especially those triangular ones. But I've seen other things, it's impossible, because it's kind of like it's light that morphs and turns into matter and then warps space and does all kinds of crazy stuff like that. It's got to be extraterrestrial intelligence. So, and there's all different kinds also in between. So that's what makes this phenomenon even more complex.
I agree with you 100%. You know, back in the mid-70s, I had an encounter with my first wife coming back from North Carolina. We were in New Mexico driving back, and we saw a bright light. And I thought, you know, it was a helicopter, a police helicopter, because I was speeding. I'll be honest with you. I was way over the speed limit. So I pull off to the side of the road, and I figured, okay, I just had enough money to get back to Seattle. And that's it. And I figured, oh, boy, I'm going to be in jail for a while. So I pull over. I get out of the car. And you know what? I didn't hear a sound of anything. No sound of a helicopter, you know, the beating sound of the blades. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear even anything in the desert. It was totally quiet. And poof, it was gone that fast.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. So, I mean, there's definitely something going on. Again, now with the military telling us there is something happening, the congressional hearing, and all of a sudden NASA, you know, coming out saying, hey, we have a new UAP team looking into UFOs. And you know, there's something going on that even from a government point of view and those big organizations, you know, they want us to know something. I'm not saying it's the full disclosure, but I think they must have an agenda of some sort as well.
I agree with you on this, because, you know, it was head of NASA who actually believes that these things exist, and he was putting pressure because he would do news, you know, press releases, and he would get up in front of the news and people would ask him, do you believe in UFOs? And he said, yes, they exist. Here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. I was very disappointed with the Congress, because if you watched the whole thing through, I mean, if you really listen to it, Roswell never happened. There was never any wreckage. There was never any bodies. That's according to, you know, the government officials talking to the Congress. And that they have never got any wreckage from UFOs. That, you know, these missile silos went active one point when supposedly a UFO flew over by. That never happened.
Right.
And to me, it was another, I hate to say it, whitewash. And that's why I'm glad like NASA stepped up to the plate, because, you know, we need to know. But do you really want to know, Carolyn? Do you really want to know if these things really do exist? Do you really want to know if they like us, or do they maybe like us with barbecue sauce? I don't know. This is the point I want to know. I think we have that right as a citizen of Earth.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You said NASA stepping up to the plate. I don't know if you've heard their presentation, their talk there, but they said that they have a budget of $100,000 to do this, which, I mean, it's like peanuts. I mean, that's like, that's,
you
like
mean one peanut here. Let's be honest, Carolyn. One peanut, like, not peanuts.
Sorry. You know, it just, there's something, it just doesn't make sense. What are you going to do with $100,000? I made a movie. I funded the movie, by the way. I mean, the equipment we had without even trying anything was hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, I don't know. There's something, I'm glad they're saying that, because just by them announcing this is a big deal. It just says that a credible organization is now looking into UFOs.
But so, here's what scares me. You said they have a budget of $100,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's face it. With $100,000, they're undoubtedly not going to come with the information that you came up with. And what type of information are they going to come up with? Could it be another, I hate to say it, could it be another whitewash, another thing going on again, you know, just to keep us not, to keep us out of it. You know, if they come back and say, well, you know, we researched it, but we really can't find anything credible. Maybe it's drones. Maybe it's this, maybe that. I'm really suspicious with anything to do, if it's NASA or anything to do with the government.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reason why, I mean, even at the congressional hearing, I mean, did you see some of the footage they showed?
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous. Like, even in my film, there's much clearer anomalies. I mean, there's no question. You can see exactly what's going on. You can see, you know, the measurements, everything else in my film. And here's the, you know, at the in the government, the congressional hearing, we're looking at this little kind of fuzzy image. We don't even know what we're looking at. So I don't know what they're doing. I mean, honestly, there's got to be some sort of agenda happening from them or from NASA, or so I don't know. I think some people in the government really, really are genuine. I mean, they really want to know. And another part of the government doesn't want us to know. You know, I think we think, or we expect and hope, that when we talk about government disclosure, we think it's one voice, like everybody in the government knows everything and everybody gets along and everybody, you know, knows exactly what should be happening. I don't think that's the case. I think the government is divided. You know, some people simply don't know and others do, you know, so that makes it even more confusing.
I think so. And again, let's face it. I mean, I was frustrated, okay? I mean, a lot of people don't realize. They think, oh, gee, Congress had, okay? But this is not the first time it's happened. It happened the first time in 1947. It's been an ongoing thing between Congress and the Senate investigating, you know, off-world, craft. And,
right.
and you think about it, it's been happening since 1947, and here it is, 2022, and we really haven't been told much more of the truth. I mean, again, you know, they're trying to, you know, like the Nimitz, now they're basically saying, well, it's possibly drones. I mean,
drones, but that's not good enough. Like, who's drones and why are they flying this way? How are they breaking the laws of physics as we know them?
Well, you know, and again, I've talked to a lot of people. Whitney Strieber, for example, has been on the show a couple of times. Again, I really believe that he has been abducted and he's still, you know, been implanted. I've had people on the show that actually had implants that were removed by the late Dr. Roger Lear. And it tells me something is going on. I don't think it's a secret government group in kidnapping people, throwing them in the van, taking them to a warehouse and make them think they're on a UFO and implanting them. I really think something is going on. And we need more like Tear in the Skies, what you've done to get, you know, the government to get off their fanny and maybe down the road be a little bit more truthful to us.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the reason why I made this film. Again, you know, like we were saying, in 5 days, 5 days were civilians we brought. I have to say, our equipment was, some of it was just the normal cameras, but we had also very sophisticated technology and military grade stuff, you know. So we did do it properly. And so we did collect hundreds of hours of data as civilians in 5 days. So you can't tell me that, you know, as a government, we don't have data or we don't know how to collect the data and we can't turn it around. So that's one thing that this film does 100%, you know, and I realize that the more we put out this type of material, the more the government is going to have some sort of answers. By the way, in the film, there are certain anomalies that nobody can explain, you know. So the scientists in the film, actually, we were just at a Scientific Coalition for UAPs conference. I don't know if you know SCU conference, just a couple weeks ago. And because the film, I mean, has the science, but not every single detail. I mean, this is a film, you know, it's not a PowerPoint presentation at a science conference. So there's enough science to tell you how we arrived at these conclusions. But then during that conference a couple of weeks ago, the scientists went in more detail about our findings. And, you know, there's like, I don't know, 400 or 500 scientists in the room, you know, even people from the UAP task force. There are all sorts of experts, atmospheric science experts, you know, all kinds of people. And no one has given us an explanation to the sightings we have in the film. So that's even more validation that what we have captured are definite anomalies, 100% anomalies. And because we did it ourselves, like I said, as civilians, so I know we're onto something very, very important. So we just have to keep going. And I think it's these types of films and research and expeditions that are going to push the government to, like you were saying, speak up, because it's just not good enough. You know, it's just going to be literally in the mainstream media.
Why do you think we're being visited? I mean, this has been probably ongoing since the Mayas, the Incas, since man has probably, you know, started putting their foot on this earth. Why do you think we're being visited? Do you have any ideas at all?
I think there's different reasons. One is a very mundane reason, such as space tourism. You know, why do you go visit France? You know, just for you to explore the planet. So it's a little bit like that. Some of it is just that. And other visitations are definitely purposeful. In fact, I think some of the visitations aren't really visitations from other planets. So I feel some presence is always here. They're just in a different kind of dimensional space, you know, like we don't see them with our visual spectrum because they're beyond the normal human spectrum. The brain can't see that, but they're there anyway. And so there are those types of being. And the reason they're here is because they occupy this space just like we do, just not in the same dimensional spectrum. And yet there are others, I feel, that are coming and going. And I feel there's different agendas, just like there's good guys and bad guys or whatever. Some, you know, everybody has a story or a reason. And I think in general, the extraterrestrial presence is benevolent because, let's face it, if they have the technology to travel through space and get here and hang out here and do all that stuff, then they have the technology to take us out. I mean, if they want to invade the planet, what are they waiting for? I mean, we're pretty pathetic, you know.
Yeah, just... you said that, not me. Yeah,
I mean, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. We're just looking at each other like, what is this? Could this be this? Who's hiding? Who's telling us the truth? We're a mess. And we're still fighting over race and boundaries and money and greed and all kinds of stupid stuff. I mean, anybody who's got any technology who's interested in this planet can take us out in a day.
Well, they don't even have to take us out. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You remember that that movie and that series from the BBC? You know what? They were making a highway up, you know, and Earth was in its way. So they just pushed the button and pow, we were gone. But if you really think about it, okay, we are warriors. We have been warriors from the get-go. And we think we're civilized. And oh, like Michio Kaku said, we're not a level one civilization yet. And all these people that think all these ETs are here to save mankind, if for some reason Russia or China decides they're going to send missiles with nuclear devices, and that the ETs won't let them detonate. Well, yeah. Then I sit there and say, look what's going on in Antarctica. You know, look at our climate changes. Look at the virus we had and how many people died. Did any ET race come down to Earth and offer us a cure for COVID? Did any of them say, hey, you know, you know, other than some people claim that they got abducted, Carolyn, that said we need to take care of our Earth, okay? I we're in one hell of a bad mess.
Big time. I mean, we don't need to have Kaku. Of course, I love Michio Kaku. He's in my movie, so don't get me wrong. But I mean, anybody, just look around, and we're just like, it's pretty bad.
And again, maybe they're coming here sightseeing. Like, I would love to go to France to check out the wineries. But, you know, maybe they're checking us out because they're thinking like the old TV show, Donna Reed, Leave It to Beaver type, you know, cowboys and Indians. Maybe, you know, our signals are out there and that's what they think we are. So they're coming down here to watch us. And I'll tell you what, if I was a advanced alien race and I came down and seen what's going on in this planet worldwide, I tell you what, I would make two choices. One, I'm going to get the hell out of there and go back home and refund everybody who was on the sightseeing tour. Or if I had the button to just like, eek, that place is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. I think, you know, again, we're part of a galaxy that is part of a universe, you know, it's like, and it's all connected, whether we like it or not. It's kind of one body, you know. If the liver and the body starts to go crazy and it starts to create different cells and self-destruct and do weird stuff, what happens? Because it's still part of the body, you know. The immune system of the body is going to kick in. It's going to say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that thing down there, the liver. Let's send some enzymes and, you know, whatever, hormones and this and that to repair.
Or how about the other, to kill the bacteria in your body? They could interpret that as we're bacteria.
Exactly. But regardless, there is a way, I feel the bigger picture, there is a system where the universe kind of needs to kind of supplement itself to self-correct. And I think that's what happens. So for the beings that incarnate or come and visit and try to kind of find ways to still educate, you know, the population that's willing to listen and things like that. That's part of the self-repair. It sure has taken a long time, but there is some of that happening as well, I believe.
Well, you know, again, we need more films like what you've done, because that's the only way you're going to get, you know, people then, you know, putting pressure on the congressman, putting pressure on, you know, different groups to really, you know, look into this and take it more serious. Now, we need to take a break. This break's about 4 minutes long, and we'll be back with Carolyn right after this. And I got more questions to ask you, like, where did you do the filming at, and how did you guys respond when you first had your encounter? We'll find all that after this break. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio Network, the home of Night Dreams Talk Radio, with Gary Anderson, syndicated worldwide. Paranormal Talk Radio, like you remember. Night Dreams Talk Radio now has a great store, and now's the time to get that Night Dreamer, that cool Night Dreams tee, or Bigfoot mug. Night Dream Store has lots of awesome items to pick from, all for the Night Dreamer. For details, check out our show's website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. Are you into the paranormal? Then you have found the right place. Night Dreams covers the topics you want to hear. And Gary always has a great guest to take you for a real ride in talk radio. So, buckle up and let's go for that ride with Gary.
And we are back with Carolyn. Are you ready to go for that ride for the last 25 minutes of the show?
For sure.
Okay, so, you know, when you set up, where did you guys figure out where to do the filming at?
Yeah, so what happened when I was looking for the team, I stumbled on Kevin Day. And Kevin Day is the radar guy who captured those TikTok videos, Navy TikTok videos we talked about. He was on the USS Nimitz. And he told me that he already had a couple of scientists on his team. And he also had been wanting to do something like this. So I thought, oh, you know, that sounds good. Why don't I team up with them and go out and do the expedition? So then the question was where? So because their experience was in the Catalina area, Catalina Channel, this is where the USS Nimitz was, we started looking at the area, and there were other Navy ships as well, the USS Omaha, the USS Kidd, all in the same area reporting similar events, of course, different times, between 2004 and I think 2017, 16, 17.
Now, Roosevelt, too, also reported some strange things, too.
Yeah, but I think the USS Roosevelt was on the East Coast, if I'm not mistaken, was off the coast of Virginia, if I'm not mistaken. And so because we had Kevin Day, Gary Voorhees, and Jason Turner, we already had three Navy guys who were part of the 2004 Nimitz encounter in the film, and because there's at least two other ships that we know of, we said, well, let's just go back to the same place. I mean, it makes sense to try to see if there's something special about that location, especially that's where you guys had your encounter. And so that's how we decided to go back to the Catalina area. So we had one team on the Laguna Beach, which is on the coast side, California coast side. And then we had another team on the Catalina Island. And then we had a mobile team that would go off to basically create a triangle, three points, simultaneous points.
What time of day did you do the filming?
Yeah, so we also decided to do it at night, because we see more things at night, although I've seen some things during the day as well. And so we would start filming at sundown and pretty much throughout the night. But the machine, all the devices kept working. You know, they were operational 24/7. So they were recording, even though we were not. I mean, we had people rotating, you know, on a schedule, but you know, but it was a lot of data. And sometimes, of course, we would miss something because, you know, like the device would be capturing something, but we're looking in a different direction, you know, and then we will find it afterwards. So it was quite a lot, but we ended up with amazing stuff, I think.
And how long did it take from when you first set up before you had your first encounter of something you didn't know what it was?
Well, first of all, you know, because this had never been done before, and we, you know, we had no experience, no frame of reference. We had all sorts of problems, like the power went out, messed up the calibration. We had to start over. Some of the software didn't work. We had to change things around. Cables didn't work. I mean, you know, all kinds of. So the first 2 days were pretty much awash. We're like, oh my God, we're only here 5 days. And the first 2 days, nothing happened. And so, but then sure enough, on the third day, it was July 14th, we got the first, we had the first, like, no, the second day we had a small sighting, but we couldn't record anything because, you know, we couldn't record. I mean, it was all sorts of technical problems. And then on July 14th is when we had the first big one.
Wow. And what time was it? It was at night, I take it. But what time? What time was that? Do you know?
That one was, I think that was the 9:29 p.m. And that one was very interesting because it's the team on Catalina that captured it first. And then they contacted the team on the Laguna Beach on the shore side. And we try to find from our side. But eventually, we were able to capture it on three different camera spectrum. Regular cameras, infrared cameras, and FLIR cameras. And that is a first, you know, in terms of capturing one object across multiple spectrum, visual spectrum. That was pretty incredible. And then we had other anomalies that happened in other correlations. We had another camera, two cameras side by side. One saw the object, and then the other one right next to it didn't. So it was like weird things like this would happen as well. And so, but that was a pretty incredible event just because we captured it on this all these spectrum at the same time.
And how did you respond, and how did your crew respond when you first saw and recorded your first object?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So the protocol was, if you see something, you call the other teams right away. And then the other teams, you know, try to describe what it is, which direction, what GPS, you know, what coordinates are you picking up, and so that the other teams, you know, try to find the same object from their angle and try to record it. And so that's kind of how it went. People will see that in a film. It's pretty exciting. And when it did happen, you know, don't forget, we are filming as well. We are filming us capturing the object. Then we're also filming the object being captured, and we're filming, you know, how the whole thing is developing, you know, because it's not scripted, obviously, it's just happening. So from a production standpoint, it was pretty difficult because, you know, we had to make sure we cover everything to be able to tell the story, if that makes sense. And so, because we didn't know who was going to see what and when. And so that's another reason why I thought this film, I mean, we got so lucky that we were able to actually cover the action in real time. And so in those 5 days, yeah, it's incredible. I personally think, this is a side note, we were being helped because what we did in such a short time, you know, especially at the end, the types of anomalies we captured are incredible.
You know, I really think that our brain is, you know, able to transmit thoughts of what we're thinking across the whole world, maybe out into the universe. And maybe you were in tune to whatever was on those craft. And that's maybe why they appeared.
Oh, 100%. You know, I was working with hardcore scientists, so they weren't into this. Nobody was into this. And so I had to keep it to myself. You know, because I had so many experiences since I was a child, I know there's a connection. You know, the fact that science doesn't know how to explain it or measure it, or it doesn't matter. I know there is a connection. And so I kind of was doing my own homework, you know, in the hotel room, kind of talking to the beings, to the craft, to whoever was out there listening. It's like, please show up, you know, like show me something really, really compelling. And so I was projecting my thoughts like this all the time. And sure enough, I knew it was going to be July 14th. And so that's why we planned that week, the 12th to the 16th. And sure enough, the first sighting was on the 14th.
And again, you know, how has people taken your film? I mean, you know, Michio Kaku, you know, I, you know, from what I watched on the clip, I think it really impressed him. I think it's really, you know, from the, you know, little bit I heard about it, it really has impressed me because, again, we need as much proof. But do we really want to really prove that these things exist? And what happens if they want to conquer us in a roundabout way? Or maybe, you know, this is going to sound bizarre, and I apologize for it. A lot of people go missing on this planet. And, you know, are people being taken? I don't know. This is why I wonder. I don't trust the government. I mean, if you go back to Roswell, 1947, they changed their story, and they've changed it numerous times. They threaten people who lived in Roswell. And you know, you don't threaten people unless there is a motive behind it. And then you look at all this information, you know, that people have presented, and it's just being whitewashed. I mean, are you scared for your safety? You know, were you scared about your safety putting this film together and putting it out?
Not really. I mean, at one point, it really felt like there was some interference going on, more from humans than extraterrestrials. You know, like I didn't feel there was some kind of dark force or anything. I mean, there is once in a while I would feel something, but I know how to kind of maneuver around that. It was more concerned with were there any humans with some agendas trying to stop us, because we did have a little bit of that going on. The police kept showing up, even though we had all the permits and everything. We had a weird neighbor that kept saying, you know, stuff, calling the police on us, you know, just like things like that. And also we did have hard drives that we were shipping to each other, you know, because the scientists are in New York, I'm in Los Angeles, and, you know, stuff would go missing and in a strange way, like somebody would sign for them, but that person didn't really exist. I mean, didn't live there or, you know, work there. So weird things like that. But I don't know. I mean, I feel I'm fine. I feel I'm protected somehow, you know. I don't know. I just always ask for protection and guidance, and somehow I think I'm okay.
So after doing this filming for 5 days and you started recording this stuff, what is your feeling now? Do you feel that is this our own world craft that they're working on, or do you feel it is definitely off world?
Well, also, you know, people will see this even in the trailer. What we ended up capturing was not just, you know, the typical thing that you see on YouTube. We had things that were literally raining down, like falling down in the water at extraordinary speed. We're talking 30,000 miles per hour, you know, I mean, just dropping down in the water, illuminating the water when they hit the water, even coming out of the water, excuse me. And so so this is all was captured on the FLIR camera. So you couldn't see it in the naked eye, but you could see it through those cameras. Extraordinary stuff. I've never seen footage like this before. And by the way, those who are listening, you know, the first thing we do, you know, the scientists look at something, the first thing they kind of try to debunk themselves. You know, they're scientists. They're not going to go out and say, oh, it's a UFO. You know, the first thing we think, oh, maybe it's a camera malfunction. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And when nothing checks out, then you come, especially when you have other correlations with other devices, then you come to conclusions that, okay, this is an anomaly. So we had things like that would, you know, raining down literally in the water. And of course, the last thing, this wormhole thing, you know, you hear me say it in the trailer. So that's another extraordinary finding. We don't know what this thing is. The only reason why we called it a wormhole is because it opens and closes very, very quickly. And there's these little objects that just come out of it. And these are reflective objects. The radar picks up on reflective objects. These aren't radiation or light or anything. So, you know, again, people will see the process in the movie. So to answer your question, of course, after this movie, I'm beyond blown away. that, first of all, this phenomenon is bigger than we think. It's not one thing. And some of it is definitely not of this world.
Now,
I can tell you that.
You know, maybe that portal is opening up. You know, again, Michio Kaku, you know, it was when he was on the show the last time, he was talking, we're very close to cracking the fourth dimension. And maybe these things have come up, and you know, maybe they're earthbound, but in another dimension. Or, they keep finding new galaxies and all this stuff on a weekly basis. It's in the news. We found another huge cluster of them. And to think that we are the only intelligence, we would have to be so naive, Carolyn, because there is life out there, and something is going on. And, you know, again, you know, your movie, your documentary shows that there's something going on. I just want to know more. I really want to know. I want to know why we've been lied to. That's what I'm more concerned about, that. Why have we been lied to all these years?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. One is some people literally don't know. Other people know, but it's some sort of black project or secret project, you know, therefore they, you know. And other people, that's most people, don't want you to know, because that, first of all, will change your entire perspective on what reality is. And I personally think, it's just, again, I can't prove it to you, but I think that's what we're going to end up figuring out. The technology and the what allows that sort of technology within the fabric of space-time itself, you know, the warping of space-time, the light bending, all that sort of technology is that allows instantaneous or very, very faster than light interstellar travel, for example, and things like that. That technology is the same technology as free energy. And that is the reason why, if you start to, basically you'd be opening a can of worms, you know what I mean? You reveal extraterrestrial technology, then one thing leads to another, it's anti-gravitic, it's this and that, it's the same technology that distributes energy throughout the planet, and you know what that the repercussions.
Well, how about the galaxy, the solar system? They're all interconnected. Now, I will say this: I will get a hold of you the next couple of days. I'm going to give you how you can get a hold of this retired 2-star general of the Air Force that was in the Pentagon, and he wrote a book, but he can't get clearance to get it published.
Wow!
And what he told me, now it's been probably about 7 months since I talked to him last. But he gave me dates and times of when, you know, that, well, one of these things, in, you know, came into our area, and they dispatched military aircraft to investigate it. And he claims that they actually were, a couple times, they were ordered to fire upon these craft. And then all of a sudden, the craft disintegrates. Not the UFO, but the military aircraft. And he said then the Air Force would say, oh, we had a training accident. And he gave me some...
What would happen to the pilots?
They're gone. They were vaporized when the plane disintegrated. And he gave me some dates of like 4 or 5 of them. And if that is true, what he was saying, that tells me that... You know, again, you know, maybe they're not hostile, but if you go at them and you're hostile towards them, they're going to defend themselves. It's like somebody came into your house, right? And tried, you know, attacking you. You're going to try to defend yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We're being deceived. And, I so many of these ufologists, and I'm not going to mention names, but some of them are very famous. We're going to get really information. We're going to get disclosure, but it never seems to happen. We get taken down this, you know, brick road to a certain point, and then it doesn't go any farther.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the reason why I'm like, no more waiting. Let's just go out and get it ourselves.
Well, you know, you did a good thing. Now, how many camera setups did you have again?
Oh my God, we had like about 10 cameras running at the same time. This was a huge production. This was a big production. Are you talking about the UFO cameras or our production cameras?
Both, all of it. I mean,
No, the FLIRs, we had 8, the CCD camera, I don't know how many CCD cameras we had. We had the UFO DAP, and then we had, oh my God, I don't know how many night vision goggles we had, maybe 20 or something. We had all sorts of different devices all running at the same time, and the spectrum analyzers, the radiation detectors, all sorts of devices all running 24/7.
Now, did the devices looking for radiation, did it detect anything when these UFOs or these objects appeared?
Yes. Well, that was the first thing. So for example, we would get a huge spike, and we're talking 32 MeV or 42 MeV for people who don't know. The scientists explained that in the film. The normal is like 2. So for a radiation of 42, that's extremely high and extremely unusual. And it correlates exactly with, for example, that wormhole thing. And so that's interesting. What's up with that? And just for you to know, even after we finished the film, we continued to look into what could this be, you know, because the radar says these are reflective objects. The photography, we can see what it is, a bunch of little dots coming out of a hole and going back in. We check, it's not solar flare, it's not radiation, it's not this, it's not that. And after the film was completed, we continued to investigate and inquire, and actually we asked through the FOIA, you know, Freedom of Information Act, to get satellite images. And we are being pretty much told that it is classified. So
yeah.
It's like, okay, what does that mean? So there's something going on. We touched on something that is potentially huge. We can't come to definitive conclusion as of today, but we have enough evidence, photographic evidence and other data that support that says that this is a real phenomenon, and that is the proof.
Well, you know, compared to the Nimitz, where, you know, these drones and all this other stuff, what you got is more evidence of something out there. Now, you know, maybe it could be the government has a secret space force, which, you know, some people claim. I don't know. But, you know, whatever it is, that is the scary part, because, you know, again, why are they, as many people and as many years of sightings of UFOs, again, you mentioned maybe they're tourists, but boy, if that's the case, we're the hottest place in the galaxy to come and check out, aren't we?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, now, that's for sure. But I mean, I, if it is a black project, they're not going to go out and say, hey, you know, we're doing this and that. But it's not just that. That's the thing. You know, there are events that are definitely extraterrestrial technology. It's way beyond what makes sense.
Well, you know, when Bill Clinton was, you know, running for president, him and Hillary both, I can't remember, I think on Johnny Carson's show, said that they were going, if he was elected, he was going to tell the American public about UFOs. He was going to release the information. Now, you know, we heard the same thing with Jimmy Carter. We heard, you know, every president has come out, you know, at one point says, hey, you know, a lot of people thought Trump was going to release the information. But, Bill Clinton here recently has been opening his mouth and saying that he really believes there is UFOs. He actually had people investigate it because, you know what, the CIA, the military, the Pentagon wouldn't give them the information.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we think the government is, like, everybody knows everything.
No, they don't want us to know, because, you know, here you think a person, the highest paid job, being the president of the United States, and not the highest paid, but the highest position. And you can't get told the truth if these are off world.
Right.
If they're a threat to national security.
Right.
You know? Exactly. I don't know. Again, do you have plans? Do you have any plans for a sequel to this?
Oh, definitely. We are. Well, because, like I said, we kept researching what else could this be, you know? We're getting more and more data that point to the fact that it's anomalous. And we're getting, like I said, rejection letters saying that it's classified or whatever. So we're already planning the next episode.
That's great. Well, keep me informed when you do. Now, is there anything you want to share to the listeners? Where can they find the trailer? They can go. I know they can go to the website and click onto it, but where can they find it? Where can they get more information about Terror in the Sky?
The best way is to just go to the website, because also this is where we're going to be giving updates on the research. So aterrinthesky.com, aterrinthesky.com. And they can see all the platforms. It's on Amazon, iTunes, you know, all the different platforms. But the website will also have the details on, you know, who's in it and the trailers. And also what's coming up next for sure, aterrinthesky.com.
And how did you come up with that name?
Well, that's another crazy story, Gary.
We got about 3 minutes. Please, I'm dying to know that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I was saying, you know, what we found at the end is this opening, which we're calling wormhole opening and closing. But guess what? 2 years ago, before we started filming, I had the idea of making a film and calling it A Tear in the Sky. Because what I'm really interested in is not just a UFO. I'm interested in the mechanics of the universe. What is it? How does the universe work? How does the fabric of space-time itself work to allow an object to come out, do some crazy thing, and disappear, or change, or morph, or do this, or do that? And so I'm interested in the intelligence of the universe, and I believe that there are specific points, spots within the magnetic field, you know, within the Earth space that we call hot spots, you know, where you can warp the fabric of space-time. The magnetic field is very condensed. And so you can warp it, bend light, so on and so forth. And in these spots, this is where the anomalies can happen. And so these spots, I would call like an opening, I would call it a tear. And so that's the reason why I had that idea. I want to know how these tears work. And that's where I had the name come to me.
Oh, wow. And I got to ask you one last question before I let you go. You mentioned infrared binoculars or whatever you were using. Did you guys see what I saw back in the early 2000s? Did you see things buzzing by and making sharp turns and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, it's in the movie. You know, they're going to see objects like literally come in the frame, make a U-turn and go back out and come back in. And it's and again, you know, these are scientists. They know if it's a bug or a bird, whatever. I mean, we can see the difference. And so these are definite anomalies where we see these things zigzag. And also we've captured objects that because these are thermal cameras that register cold. They appear, tilt, rotate, then disappear, register cold. When they register cold, it means they have a propulsion system that's not emitting, you know, heat, which is
right.
We don't know what that is, right? And so it's a different type of propulsion system that's not human. And so that's another indication that this is an anomaly.
Oh, yeah. You want to give the website address out for people can check into it?
Yes, please. aterrinthesky.com. Please check it out. It's really a first, and I think we made history with this one.
Oh, yeah. Terrorinthesky.com. Check it out, Carolyn. I really enjoyed having you on. You're a great guest, and I tell you, I really appreciate what you did for ufology.
Thanks so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, my friend, you take care.
Take care. Bye. Uh-huh.
Well, tomorrow we're going to be having a great show, and Friday a great show. And don't forget, Bob Clark has a great show lined up on Saturday. Check out our website. It's been updated. It's been changed a little bit. I think you might like it. It's easier to find out information. Go to www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. For not you guys on chat, but we get a lot of people that watch our shows, but they don't subscribe. We get, you know, a lot of people that just don't subscribe to it. So when that those numbers don't count, because there's no numbers if you just watch it. So subscribe to our channel, hit that bell so you're notified when we're on. We're on all the apps, we're in syndication, we're everywhere. And it's all possible because you guys made the show what it is. Well, Night Dreamers, have a good one. We will catch you tomorrow night. Everybody, have a good one. Look up in the skies.